Hey everyone, welcome back to the Are You the One wrap up podcast for episode 2 of Are You the One season 6. I am joined by my fearless co-host Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, how you doing?
I'm as okay as I could be after watching Are You the One.
Wow, way to really put a bummer on our podcast here.
I feel like that's my shtick. I just stick to it at this point.
Come on, it's bright and early. We're recording at 10:30 on a Thursday morning. What else could you be doing right now that's more important?
Absolutely nothing.
So I actually watched this week's episode with one of my roommates and one of my friends. And my roommate could not stop laughing at the player bios, like the Malcolm recovering player and Cray Chaser. We were cracking up.
Well, you know, those are my favorite, but I guess they hold true to some extent, because I feel like every person kind of follows what they're saying. Well, they do have a whole show that they could edit. So I guess it's easier said than done.
There is like a little bit of an element, without thinking about it, Are You the One too hard, of like what people say about the Survivor theme. Like if you're told you're a hero, you're going to act heroic and whatever. So like, you know, I feel like the producers are probably jamming this down Malcolm's throat, right? You're a player.
Oh, yeah.
You're a recovering player.
Oh yeah, that's why he's doing all this for sure. Like it's a psychological just warfare from the intelligent producers of Are You the One.
We also got confirmation on how to pronounce Gilles's name.
Yes.
So Gilles.
Yeah,
so
Gilles.
Now,
that's
pretty much
easy.
We're done.
Yeah, we're good now. Like we could stop podcasting. That was a good 6 minutes.
What do you think of this admission here at the top of the episode from Gilles to Anthony that she's cheated on every guy she ever dated?
Okay, there was two things that bothered me about this whole little sequence. So first, she's cheated on every guy she's dated because I guess like she said she wants more attention, which is like not a valid reason to cheat, but okay. And then she says like she pretty much praises Anthony. And we talked about this last week for not cheating and how he's like the best human being ever. And I'm like, no, that's the standard. You're not supposed to cheat. Life is like, you're not supposed to ruin someone else's 6 months to a year by cheating on them. There was just so much wrong with that conversation. I'm like, well, the only good thing to me that came out of it was, one, the relationship, you know, maybe it's genuine. Two, at least we have one decent guy in the house that hasn't cheated with Anthony. And maybe I feel like Ethan probably hasn't cheated because he probably hasn't gotten far enough in a relationship to cheat.
Oh, dead. No, so I agree that it was like a weird, like, it's like you're acting like putting them on a pedestal for just doing the bare minimum. I think it's weird that Gilles like teed this up like this, where she's like, have you ever cheated? No, you haven't. Oh my God, you're so good. Amazing. Where it kind of seemed like she had been cheated on from the beginning of the conversation. And then when she's like, yeah, I've cheated on everyone I've ever been with, I thought that was a weird way to tee up like that admission. I will say like Anthony spun some yarn like, and I got a little bored, but I do like their relationship. I will say it's strange this season how many women are like moving to Facebook official or calling the men their boyfriends, you know, nights 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, I don't feel like we've seen this level of trying to get wifed up.
No, it's weird. Do they understand what show they're on? Like, this is not the type of show to like settle down real quick. And I feel like the few couples that it has happened to, like, or the last few seasons, I don't think it hasn't worked out. Like Kaylin and Gio, they got wiped up real quick, and look what happened to them.
Yeah, no, good, great callback, and what a horror story that is. I feel like you should have a flashlight up to your face, like while you tell the tales of Kaylin and Gio.
You just can't see it is
perfect. So we have the booty party, which I think is funny. Like, it's a pirate themed party and it seems so spontaneous. All of a sudden everyone has like the same pirate costumes. Like, oh yeah, they all just coincidentally showed up with those, but it was a lot of fun. I thought the braids on Joe were a poor choice.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised that Joe made a poor decision with his braids. I think Joe needs a new look with his hair. Like, it just seems kind of like it fits his drug dealer role or drug grower role perfectly. But at the same time, it's like, all right, I think if he cleaned up, like, he would look a lot better, maybe had a nice short haircut. But every other white male in America has a short haircut. So, you know, maybe it's good that he switches it up.
I don't mind his hair. I just thought the French bait. At first, I thought that he had cornrows, and I was like, oh, poor, poor choice from Joe. And then I saw there were French braids, and I, first time I've ever felt a sense of relief from seeing French braids, but they still look terrific. Yeah. So hopefully it was just a party choice and not a life choice. We'll see.
Yeah, pirate choice. Yeah, they called it Are You the One? I thought that was kind of nice. Like, I was actually impressed with their small amount of creativity because you don't see it on Are You the One too much. And I enjoyed the pirate party. I feel like, and like you said, though, they said, yeah, we decided we're going to throw a pirate party. But they all have these pirate costumes except for Dee Dee, who takes 4.5 hours to get ready and puts on not lingerie, it's a leotard.
It's funny because she says, like, no one can compete with my fashion. And I'm like, do girls usually compete over fashion? Like, I just thought this was so I was watching with a guy and I was like, all right, do you think that Dee Dee looks significantly better than Nerys here in this outfit? And he was like, oh, she looks good. You know, very uncomfortable. But I think in this case, it's like what Dee Dee was wearing is something like women more often dress for other women. She was wearing, I think, would be confusing to a man. Like, Nerys's outfit was, like, very straightforward. Pirate costume, cleavage, check, check. And she's ready on time. Dee Dee took 15 hours to put on, like, a Alexander McQueen-inspired, like, feather-sleeved leotard that I think was just confusing.
You know, I can back that up. Like, I do not understand, like, to me, like, and this is 100% my ignorance in women's clothing, but I was like, okay, like, she's wearing yoga pants. Like, that's as far as my brain went with those. And, like, I was like, it just didn't add up to me. And I'm sure, like, other people who are into fashion could appreciate it more, but I was just like, I didn't understand the hype around that she was building up to this outfit. Like, I expect her to come down on, like, this, like, tutu and a gown or like gold chains everywhere. Like, I expected something big. So when I saw this leotard, I was kind of disappointed.
I don't know where you've been doing yoga, Adam, but yoga pants don't show ass like that.
Very true. I honestly don't remember her ass because I was so distracted by her boxing segment.
All right, we have to talk about that. Was that not the highlight of the night for you?
Oh, by far. Obviously, if you listen to last season, you know I'm a big Osvaldo fan. And he had the iconic moment of last season where him and Tyranny they weren't a perfect match. And he went outside with his bros and he boxed. And this season, she's so mad. Dee Dee's so furious that Nerys and Malcolm hooked up in front of her that she says, screw this pirate party. I'm going to go outside and I'm going to box my heart out. And it was a glorious scene of her just going ham, flipping out on this freaking punching bag that's outside, I guess. Like, it's like randomly just placed out there for situations like this.
I think it's the same punching bag that Osvaldo took.
She should be honored that she gets
to
punch it.
They moved out to New Orleans.
Yeah, she should really be honored that she gets to punch the same punching bag that Osvaldo did last season.
I died because me trying to recall, like, I saw the punching scene. I was like, oh my God, Adam loved this. What happened? Like, was it the challenge? All of a sudden it came to me. I was like, Osvaldo!
It's like this aha moment that hit you and you just remembered the only episode Osvaldo was featured in.
Exactly. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, let's talk about this Malcolm Nerys situation at the party. I just kept thinking, like, when Malcolm and Nerys kiss and then Malcolm realizes Dee Dee's there, he walks away from her and says to Nerys, like, oh my God, I didn't realize she was right there. Like, that should be a bad sign to Nerys. Like, the guy should not mind who sees. Like, you're not a secret. Like, Nerys has just been this, like, secret for the last two episodes.
Yeah, no, this show is highlighted, if nothing more, that Malcolm is just a complete scumbag. And he keeps, like, saying, like, I just couldn't help it. Like, it just happened. No, you dumbass. It didn't just happen. You obviously wanted to do these things. Like, it seems like he's not even just owning up to the fact, okay, maybe I'm interested in two girls. And obviously, at this point, it seems like he's interested in Nerys more. I don't know. And I think if there's anything that Nerys could gather from Malcolm is that he is a player. But it doesn't matter to her. And it seems like it doesn't matter to Dee Dee. They're both just all in with him. And I don't know. Just they shouldn't be rewarding his shitty behavior.
Yeah. And on the I'm just getting sick of this, like, girl on girl mental and emotional violence. And it comes to play, too, at the party with Jada and Clinton and Uche, where, like, Jada is trying to expose Uche for being this, like, clingy person, but that's, like, not at all what we're seeing and not at all what Clinton is seeing. And just kind of like Jada's desperate move. And it's like, it doesn't make you look good to the guy. Like, it makes, especially a guy like Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, she has this line where she says Uche's fused to his dread. And Clinton's like, no, she like lets me live. Like, she's not all over me. And that's what we see at the party. Like, Uche has this confessional where she's saying, like, it sucks because I feel like I'm watching my man be with someone else. But like, I have to just be okay with it. And that to me is like a healthy in between of like, he's my boyfriend. It's Facebook official. I'm going to kill another woman. And like, I recognize that I'm on a show like The Bachelor, Are You the One, where it's just like, people have to do this.
Dude, that was so frustrating. I was just like, because here's the thing with the girls in this house. What bothers me, I guess, the most is that when they're like, oh, this guy's hooking up with another girl. Screw that girl. It's like, no, screw that guy. Why are you blaming the girl? And this is the whole, I've always had this reaction on cheating. When like a girl cheats on a guy and the guy beats the crap out of the other guy instead of just breaking up with the girl and never talking to her again. It's like, that's the person that's supposed to care about you. Like, does Didi really think Nerys is going to care about her feelings? Like, no, she wants to be with Malcolm. Malcolm should care about her feelings. So I just get really frustrated on shows like this, or even in general, when girls start blaming the other girl instead of just really saying, no, this guy's a douchebag. And yeah, not that Clinton is. I don't want to also, like, it's not their relationship. Clinton seems like a really stand-up nice guy. Also, I'm just say that real quick.
Clinton, I'm all in on Clinton and Uche, so maybe I'm biased against, what's her name? Jada.
You forgot her name already. You're so biased you forgot her name.
I know, right? I'm a terrible person.
Yes.
So we get this like minor clip. We're starting to get to know a couple of the, as you described, white blonde girls in the house that we weren't able to identify last week. So Tyler's interested in Nicole. We don't really know why yet. It's just like poor Tyler, self-pitying himself for being self-pitying himself, whatever. Self-pitying, whatever.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I get it.
For being a friend with benefit. And it's just kind of like, I'm so sick of guys complaining about the friend zone. I don't need to get into it on the podcast. You could Google all the articles about like how it devalues having female friendships and whatever. Bottom line is Tyler just has no game and he somehow blames the woman for it. Like he carries Nicole out of here. Cute move. Pick her up, get some physical contact in the least romantic way possible. Her head is like wrapped around his back and he could like club her on the kitchen island or the fridge, like left or right. It was just so sad and hard to watch. Mm-hmm.
It was, and then it was after he dropped all the food. So like he already wasn't like doing well for the day. And then the thing that you could tell, or at least I thought as soon as they did it, I'm like, this is definitely a move he pulls a lot because he's so tall. Like, I could see him doing this to more than one girl. And like, that, for some reason, that's what stood out to me after he picked her up.
No, I get it. That's a smart assessment based on his stature. He also, I will say, is very, very funny on Twitter. Like, if you want to be watching the show and reading live tweets, Tyler is very funny. Like, he took the video of DD boxing and just put it to Rocky music.
That's amazing.
And it was hysterical. I recommend.
Wow, when I searched Tyler, are you the one, the douchebag from last season just pops up a bunch.
His name is Tyler Cologne.
Yeah, I got him now.
Okay.
I got it. Now I'm following him. So hopefully I could be entertained by his tweets now that you've endorsed him personally.
Yeah. So we have a weird schedule or structure to the episodes this week, and it seems like it's going to continue. We had a question from JR at Joe Regrai, also known as my Fear Factor correspondent, on Twitter, who said, do we know the episode count? Is the max still 10 eps? If so, they must do well. And so like part of, there are two ways to read this messed up format as we get to the matchup ceremony, the first third of the show. And that is either one, they do really well and they need to stretch out the episodes, or two, they're doing the same thing they're doing on the challenge and trying to spike interest and have more cliffhanger like endings. So what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's too coincidental that the challenge is doing as well, and we're seeing these like long stretch of episodes where there's not a specific format and there's all this drama thrown in there. So I think that it's a similar format. So I would go with that they're doing this on purpose, and there's going to be more episodes, and we're just going to see all the dynamics of these relationships and all this drama thrown in there. I think MTV is really on this drama binge and all these fights. And like you saw in the challenge this week with Nelson and Derek. So I don't know. I think that there could potentially be more episodes, which as much as Are You the One is annoying at times, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, no, I just like the straight format of a show. Like, I don't like that this ends going into a truth booth. Like, I liked the satisfaction of... I almost didn't even mind. Didn't they sometimes... Or no, maybe they did. I wouldn't even mind if they, like, get to the matchup and then don't show you how many beams. But I want, like, the effect of the full rise and fall of the episode. Like, I want the challenge, the date, the truth booth, the matchup. And I don't love that this is topsy-turvy on that front.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a little all over the place. But I expect nothing less sometimes with Are You the One.
One more couple we get to talk to before the matchup ceremony that I almost skipped over. I think MTV almost skipped over them too, are Kareem and Olivia. Olivia thinks she's a match with Kareem because she asked for someone who looks like he's been in the mob for a couple years. What do you think of Kareem and Olivia's prospects?
No, I it was okay. So have you seen Olivia in this house before this?
I'm not sure yet. I know maybe about 50% of the cast by sight now.
Yeah, no, but I swear to God, like, they just threw her in for this little segment. Like, I don't remember seeing her at all. So, like, I was just very confused. I'm like, who is this girl? And this guy, Kareem, I don't know if I mentioned last time, I think he lives, like, 5 minutes from me. So, and I think he goes to the same, I'm pretty sure I said he went to the same gym as me. So I'm, like, really, like, looking for him now. Like, when I go to the gym, I want to see him. Unless he's moved out to LA, which I'm not, so I wouldn't be surprised at. But I don't know. I feel like we saw so little of them that we're like, I'm not sure what they're setting up. And I really don't know what to think about it. Like, I don't have a strong opinion on either of them. Obviously, Kareem says he grew up with his parents, not in the best relationship. And, you know, hopefully we see him turn around. I really don't have too much of an opinion, to be honest, on either of them, though.
Yeah, time will tell. I think it's interesting that Kareem opened up right away, but, who can say? And as we go into the matchup ceremony, I contacted my good friend Molly Block, who has been on, I want to say, the Are You the One podcast back in the day, or The Challenge, one of the shows. Anyway, I asked her to be my fashion correspondent this year because she's always texting me about what people are wearing to the matchup. She's in California, West Coast time. Haven't heard from her about the fashion this week yet. But all I can say, my own personal opinion, so many bad hats on the men coming into the matchup ceremony.
Oh my God, terrible. And I'm glad that Ethan kind of had the worst, because I'm not sure what it was, but I just remember being like, oh, that's not great. And he flipped it on his head, and that was like the biggest deal of the episode. Yes, that's what it was.
The soft white fedora from PacSun. You didn't know. God.
And it fits him. Like, I'm not surprised at all. But it's just like fedoras. Like, anytime someone wears a fedora and it's not Jason Mraz, I get very confused at why the person's wearing the fedora.
But Jason Mraz gets a pass.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he definitely deserves a pass at this point in his life.
So Terrence J announces that the blackout, having the money rule is still in effect. So if they black out, they'll lose half their money. How do you feel about this?
I think that's fine. I think, you know what, if they black out, they deserve, and they're not focusing on finding love, that they deserve to lose $500,000.
I will say, no talk of the truth booth trade yet, where you can get money for foregoing a truth booth. Obviously, it wouldn't be. Actually, I'm surprised it wouldn't have been offered this week because they have a very strong match in the booth. Do you think they decide to get rid of it, or will we be seeing the truth booth trade?
I think it's done. I don't know. I feel like if they were last season, we saw them introduce it real quick. I don't know why. I maybe it's just because they did the last season, but I feel like if they would have done it again, it would have been introduced in the first episode to kind of set it up for the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I love having the money without an opportunity to get some money back.
No, that makes sense. Maybe we'll see something else. But at the same time, maybe they would have, if there was going to be another twist, I'm sure we would have seen some sort of advertisement or hyping it up to bring people in for future episodes. So I don't know, but that is something maybe we could look forward to, as a potential new twist that's going to have them earn money. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, Cheyenne from seasons past, at Shay Not Shy, she tweeted, "What's the twist? Hashtag Ari the One." Like, Ari the One, I think the creators of Ari the One did an AMA or some sort of interview I read a couple years ago. They always try to do something new, like the 11th girl, the truth, the trade, the bucket. Like, they always want to do something new. Maybe Terrence J is the twist, but I think we're going to get something coming up. It is just weird that we haven't. I mean, technically, we've had two episodes and we've only made it through like 1.5 or 1.25 real episodes.
So it's like 5 days in Ari the One time.
Or barely. All right, so we get some matches. Did you notice that they did not show Joe picking a match?
No, I didn't. Did they just like completely skip over him?
They did. So we had Kareem pick Olivia, Anthony pick Jill S, Malcolm picked Norice, which we will come back to.
Oh, yeah.
Keith picked Alexis, Michael picked Kiana, Ethan picked Jada, Clint picked Uche, Shad picked Audrey, Tyler picked Nicole, Dimitri picked Deandra, and then oh my God, I only have 10 people written down. The person I was watching with was like, I think Joe and that blonde girl, so I think it was Joe and Zoe, who did not even get shown being picked.
I wonder if it was for, I'm sure it was for time constraints, and they were like, okay, who could we just throw together? But at the same time, do you think like they said something that was like too telling or like, but no, they usually have Terrence just being like, okay, Zoe and Joe lock in. So like they couldn't have said something too ridiculous that like spoiled something. So it had to be just because of time constraints, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Or I missed it. But then like, I don't know. I was writing them down pretty furiously. Maybe I missed it, but it was a little strange.
Maybe I'm sure it's nothing, but there's a potential it could be something crazy that we'll find out down the road. I highly doubt it, but I'm hopeful.
So let's talk about the pick of the night here, Malcolm. I wrote Didi down before he even picked. Like, I thought he for sure was going to pick Didi.
Same. No, I was in the same boat. I was like, he's picking Didi. Like, they're just, I feel like it's the whole edit's kind of like showing his little fling with Nerese when it's going to come around to Didi. Because she was like petitioning, like she was pushing herself hard. She was like, "Ever, you know what we have." So I'm like, okay, like this makes sense. Like he's gonna go with her, and then he just stiff arms her and goes with Nerese, and I was shocked at that.
Yeah, I think it's weird though, because the fight the two women have, I agree. Like Didi should only be upset at Malcolm, but like they have this whole fight, and like Nerese's whole argument in this is like, you took too long to get ready and it backfired. Like, your argument should not be that you only got with the guy because Didi wasn't there.
I know. She's really not helping herself out at all. And then the thing that Didi said, I thought it was so funny. She goes, first of all, it's not lingerie. Second of all, it's a leotard. I just, for some reason, like how both of her points revolved around what her fashion choice was and not have anything to do with the guy. I just thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, I'm really missing the point there for both Didi and Nerese. I will say this is the moment I fell in love with Terrence as the host, when he asked Malcolm to make a call and then steps in feeling totally comfortable, didn't take 5 seasons to get comfortable with this, and just said, like, you know he's scared right now. Like, I love Terrence's little asides where he literally reaches his head around Malcolm to talk to the audience there, the rest of the cast.
That was awesome. Oh, that was,
I love that.
It is great, though. Like, I feel like that's what we need. We deserve in Are You the One host is, like, season 5 Ryan, who was, like, going, like, not caring anymore and telling him to shut the F up and stuff. So let's hope that Terrence doesn't need to take 5 seasons. He just jumps right into it.
Speaking of jumping right into it, Michael and Kiana have a little moment here. They have a huge kiss when they get called up. I am not a fan of Michael and Kiana.
I'm telling you, Ali, he weirds me out. I don't know what it is. I feel like he's not real. Like, every time he's on camera, I'm like, there's something off with this guy. And we're starting to see the cracks in the relationship. Like, and I think at the matchup ceremony is where we see Kiana say, I don't care if we're a match or not. And she's that person of the season. I'm infatuated with him, and I'm going to stick by him.
Yeah, she's, like, in love with his Instagram profile. Like, she's decided who he was from the internet. And now she's saying, exactly, like, I don't care who my match is, which I feel like is a clear sign they're not going to be a match, editing-wise. And then, I mean, if we didn't already think they weren't going to be a match.
Yeah,
and then she's obvious. Like, I'm not going to say I'm in love with Michael, but I'm like, oh, my what? God, no.
Does she not get what, like, I think people are, and I guess that, how old, she's probably, like, 21, 22, whatever. But I feel like being in love with someone, like, that doesn't, it's not the type of thing that takes 5 days, especially on an MTV TV show. Like, it's, I don't know, I was just, I was baffled that she said, I'm potentially in love with him. Like, she doesn't even know him yet. And they don't really know each other at all. Like, they probably, maybe they maybe had sex once, but, like, that doesn't mean they know each other.
Yeah, but she's been following him on Instagram, duh.
Oh, it's so weird. That's like, and she, the weirdest thing about it is she bragged so much about following him on Instagram, like, that was gonna be like, oh wow, now that's gonna turn him on. Like, it was just, I don't know, I feel like she went about it all wrong with the whole Instagram thing. You don't bring that up, that you know someone before you meet them. That's just weird.
Totally, totally agree. The other little spat we get is when Ethan picks Jada and then Clinton picks Uche. Has anyone ever been so upset when they've heard their name called? Like, maybe a couple times when, like, Leighton picks some people towards the end of his season. But poor Ethan, Jada just makes, like, Jada's face totally just drops when Ethan picks her.
It was the last time somebody was that disappointed to be next to Ethan was literally Kiana last week. Yeah. Like, so this poor guy, like, I feel like we're going to get a really nice arc here. He's going to start off really depressed and sad. He's going to find the love of his life on Are You the One. It's going to happen. No, but she was like, yeah, I knew he was down for the brown, which, like, everyone gets a good laugh. And then she's like, no, I'd rather be standing up here next to Clint. And, like, poor Ethan, man. He's just a 27-year-old white rapper trying to make it in the world.
Yeah, the one thing that keeps me from feeling terrible for Ethan is that he's clearly just there to self-promote. Mm. Like, at least, like, make it a little bit discreet.
Yeah.
I know, like, when Cheyenne was on and had the clothing company, The Rue, that I am not only a fan of, but a patron of, she had other people wear the stuff. It didn't just have her name on it. Like, Ethan, this episode, wore a tank top that said E-Money and a shirt with his face drawn onto it.
What is subtle?
Yeah, exactly. Haley Strong said, Ali Lasher, will you be adding the E-Money tank to your MTV clothing haul? You know, you buy one shirt one time and all of a sudden you're like this crazy. No, but I will say I've been keeping up with The Rue and she has some great new hats I'm considering buying.
Support the cause. She's having a child, right? Correct? I want to make sure Cheyenne was the one that was having a child.
Yeah, she was. I think she had the baby, but nice. Not 1,000%.
Okay. So that's really crappy for her and Devin.
Yeah. But crappy or happy?
Happy. No, happy for her and Devin.
Oh, I said crappy. I'm like, I don't think Devin needs her to be on the show again. Gotcha.
Yeah, no, well, it's Devin's child, so that's why I was saying that.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm not spreading that. I'm not going up against Cheyenne.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't want to do that either.
I was dead during Survivor. Did you watch Survivor this week?
Of course I watched Survivor.
So when someone throws up, well, for anyone who's watching, that's not a spoiler. And I was just like, that was such a cute puke. Like, Cheyenne used to be like, yeah, so cute.
It was like a baby puke. Like, it was like, that vomit should not be coming out of a human. It should be coming out of an infant.
But yeah, Cheyenne forever here. So Jada's disappointed, even though Ethan's down at the brown. I love the insult, like, from Jada that Uche's just, like, always there. Uche, if I've been watching The New Girl, Uche is Bidening. Like, everywhere you are, just yes. Everywhere he is, just be there. And that's, like, her insult. I think that's actually a really good strategy in this house. Just, like, be around.
No, yeah, just be, just, like, kind of, like, shadow someone. But, like would I give them, like, a 15-foot radius? And, like if they're talking to someone on the couch, be in the kitchen eating. But, like, don't be too far so, like, they know you're there. So it's a solid strategy for either one in finding love.
And that's also when Uche comes up with Clint and she's like, Jada and I were never friends. You don't treat your friends like that. And Jada is, like, somehow put off by that. Like, oh, my God, we were never friends. You are blowing up her spot in front of everyone. You are constantly throwing her under the bus to the guy she likes. Like, you can compete. I mean, I know with Cam and Alicia last season ended up going south. But, like, you can compete for the same guy and still be friends on the show, at least in the beginning, if you do it right. And I'm sorry, Jada. Like, why the hell are you surprised? You're literally calling her out and then somehow still pissed that she doesn't like you.
You know, I feel like when they cast these people for Are You the One, these fame whores, they're gonna get people who if you're competing for the same person and they lose, their egos are too big to take that blow. So they have to, like, lash out and be upset and wouldn't be able to be friends with them. And maybe, like, months, like, I'm sure we see a lot of relationships where months down the road they become friends. But I really do feel like the egos are too big in the Are You the One house for people to just be okay with losing to someone else.
Right. No, that's true. Egos will get you every time.
Oh, yeah.
But what Jada's missing here, and this is why I think Jada and Clint are not a perfect match. for a guy like Clint, he does not want you to continue to attack another woman. Like, he wants you to just handle it the way Uche's been handling it. Like, Malcolm, on the other hand, loves the drama, loves the female violence.
Oh, like, yeah.
Clint, this is like, Jada is not Clint's speed.
Yeah, no, and maybe it's a security thing. Like, obviously, Malcolm, like, enjoys these girls fighting over him, and maybe it's because he enjoys that attention. I feel like Clint is very secure with himself and, like, is a very respectable dude. So he's probably just so over the drama of it all and just wants to meet a nice girl and see where it goes, which is good.
Right. So another thing we were dying to see this episode, what do you think of Terrence's beam of light etiquette?
So I was looking for like what he would do. Did he do anything with his hands?
It looked to me like he just kept both hands on the iPads, which I think is fine.
Yeah, no, I think that's good, because I'm sure, like, as silly as it sounds when we're talking about it, I'm sure he was like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, Ryan had his little point and number thing. Like, so I think it was just a very good Terrence J strategy, and I enjoyed his matchup ceremony etiquette.
And I would be, I don't know that Ryan did that from season one. Okay. Like, there's room for Terrence to develop, but I'm glad he wasn't just outright copying it.
Yeah, no, you can't copy the original host of Are You the One. Like, you have to get your own stuff going on.
So they got three beams of light, which led me to go back to Wikipedia to say, like, this seems like a lot for me for episode one. So every other season got two beams of light in the first week. Season four got three beams. This is definitely on the higher end, but nothing extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who should we call some shots? Who do you think the three matches are?
All right. Now, the one that kept coming to mind was Anthony and Jealous. And I was just like, maybe, like, but then they're giving them this real big edit where everyone's like, you're a match. You're a match. We know you guys are a match. So I feel like they're really setting them up to fall. On top of them, like, I really don't want to go out right and say anyone yet. Maybe, like, another one that came to mind was Kareem and Olivia, because we saw, like, they inserted them into this episode real quick, and it felt like almost it was for no reason. Like, they didn't need to be in there. It's like when somebody gets a winner's edit on Survivor, and they're just like, yeah, we did this challenge today, and, like, there's no reason for them to really be involved. So that was the only one, the other one that came to mind. And if I'm gonna go and randomly throw in a third, I'll just say, let's go. I'm just going to go out and say Nerys and Malcolm.
Yeah, I'm actively rooting against Nerys and Malcolm, so they're probably a match. I think Anthony and Jaless are probably a match. If I had a pick out of these couples, I'd say Clinton Uche, and I'm never right, but I think Clinton Uche, Anthony and Jaless, and then maybe like some like random couple like Dimitri and Deandra, who had a really awkward hug.
Yeah, and
I definitely don't think it's three couples like we've seen.
True.
But we'll see.
Like, definitely not Michael and Kiana. I think we both come to that point that they're setting them up to really have a hard fall.
Yeah, I am a terrible person because I'm actively rooting against them. But we will see.
I feel like that's the point of the show, is to root against these odd couples and these weird people. So, like, I feel like I told you, Michael rubs me the wrong way. Kiana's rushing her way too quick. I'm very excited to see their fall, because I feel like I'm not rooting against real people. I'm rooting against characters on Are You the One?
Can you set up what's happening here in the demise of Keith and Alexis?
Okay, so doesn't it start with Keith and Alexis in the confessional, right? And you can tell he's like, he's trying to actively piss her off because do we get to even challenge yet? Do we touch on that at all? Should we go to
that?
They
have
first?
This drama right before the challenge.
Okay. So it happens with this little confessional happens before the challenge.
Yeah, like they said, he said something about being more into like Zoe than Alexis, but I think it might just be a one-on-one confessional with him and the camera.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because because they have this weird, awkward, like fight conversation after the challenge. Okay. That's what I'm thinking of.
Because then he's also saying like he has this weird thing where he's like, I have a crop top. Like, he just seems kind of pissed off at everything Alexis does. And I think what's happening with Keith is Keith maybe regrets having sex with Alexis too soon and like wanting to like not be a dick and wanting to like, you know,
yeah,
oh, I know, I really do still like her. That wasn't just a one-time thing. Even though I'm on national television, I'd rather be with Zoe. It's just a very strange. I'd rather them just break up and, like, move on. Like, whatever.
He's just not going to be able to be with a girl like Alexis, who is very free and not as, like, she's not as concerned with exactly what he's thinking. Oh, I have to please my boyfriend. And she's like, she's going to do what she wants to do. And that's fine. Like, that's her prerogative. And I feel like he's just the type of boyfriend who's like, nope, my girlfriend will not be going out tonight, and I'm not okay with that. It just feels like he's very uptight about everything except for wearing boots and in a crop top and short shorts. So I don't think Keith is on the right track.
Yeah, I agree. I was gonna say, like, if Keith is wearing a t-shirt, bra, and jorts, and Alexis is into it, like, you need to grab her and never let her go.
Yeah,
like, he is being totally stupid. Nobody else is gonna tolerate that kind of wardrobe.
No, I agree. I thought it was, I'm like, oh, this isn't, like, fun. Like, this is just kind of awkward. And she really liked it, so it doesn't look like she's just gonna grab on and never let go. But I think if there was a time to do it, it would have been then.
What did you think of this challenge? Do we even have a name for it? Did I miss the name?
I have no idea. I just know they were shooting arrows. I actually liked it. I think it was cool that they had to use some of their knowledge of some of the cast. Like, okay, who do you know well enough to know these three little facts? And, like, they knew that some of the people knew that Alexis wanted to be a Playboy bunny. That was the person, right? She was the one, yep, who won. Okay. And I was on the same night Hugh Hefner died. So I think it was a nice little nod from Are You the One months before that they knew they predicted his death. So I thought that was impressive. But I actually liked this challenge. I thought it was cool and it was quick. It didn't run on for too long. I was a fan.
That's actually the third theory of why the episodes are so formatted differently, is because they wanted to make sure this episode included the Playboy nod.
Yeah, it was really, really respectful from our either one.
Yeah, I also liked this life goal balloon archery game. I did think, like, Shad noticeably struggled with this because he's never been outside before, so this was difficult for him. Anthony was very impressed that he assumed, rightfully so, that Jaless was the one who wanted to be in Sports Illustrated. The first hit we have is Shad wants to become a real housewife, and that's Uche. And I think Shad, like, thinks real housewife means, like,
yes,
a housewife.
You're 100% right. He has no idea it's a TV show.
And while he also doesn't know that, he also doesn't know Uche
at all. He doesn't know who she is.
How is that possible?
I was hoping that it was edited and he said it about, like, something else completely, but I'm pretty sure he actually had no idea who Uche was. And he goes, like, it seems like he's friends with Clinton based on their little interaction there. So you would think they would have to have a conversation about Uche and their relationship. So it was just really bizarre. But if there's anyone to forget someone's name in the house, I would predict it'd be Shad.
Uche tweeted something like, can't wait to meet Shad on my day tonight.
That's so funny. I love it.
So Keith knew that Alexis wanted to be a Playboy bunny, but Joe is the one who got it. And I don't think Joe knew it would be Alexis. He just thought it would be someone fun if they wanted to be in Playboy. And he's not wrong.
No, I think if there was somebody that was going to go on a date with Joe and have a good time, I think Alexis is at the top of the list. So as soon as I saw this, I was like, you know what, that's going to be an interesting date. And it doesn't disappoint at all.
Yeah, I actually really liked Joe and Alexis paired. And then Anthony gets Jaless and was right. And what I love about this is that they're not playing stupid. They're not doing any Paris and Pratt shit. They like each other. They want to go in the truth booth and see what happens. And to Kiana's credit, she's saying the same thing about her and Michael. Like, they're not like, okay, we know we're a match, but let's try to stay on the show a little bit longer.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was actually thinking about last night and talking about, that I'm sure some of these people are like, okay, like, I don't want to rush into anything because I want to be on the show so I can get on the challenge. So it is good that they're like, okay, like, we want to see if we're a match. If we leave episode 2 or 5 days in, cool, we'll get to know each other more. I like that about both of them.
And so then we have the Keith and Alexis official fight. I missed the joke about, I missed a little bit of this, because my friend I was watching with, I was talking about my podcast and the co-host. And so I went, I was like, oh yeah, he's a famous YouTuber. So we were watching one of your YouTube videos during the commercial and I missed part of this.
Well, I guess I appreciate it, but like, oh my God, I hate, like, it's so awkward. Like when I'll meet, like, normal people, and they'll be like, so like, what have you done the last few years? And like, I just talk about my business, and I'm like, and then if YouTube comes up and I'm like, oh, show me a video. I'm like, no thanks. Like, I'm just so like, not that I'm not proud of, but it's just not what you show normal people. So
well,
like,
this person wasn't normal. So
okay. Well, that's good. I still feel bad for the person that you had to show. So if you, I could cover this way, cause I thought it was hysterical and so weird at the same time. So Keith is like throwing this little dig at Alexis because she was, but in all her fairness, to her like defense, she was like, hey, like, I didn't choose to go on this date with Joe, like, it just happened. And he was like, well, good, I get to spend time with Zoe. And he said it, and this had this real creepy laugh, and the laugh continued till after she left, like, it was that weird. And she storms off and gets really mad because she's like, wow, like, I didn't do anything to deserve how you're acting. I'm going on a date because of luck. And I think that it showed his maturity and showed that he's kind of being a douchebag. And I really prefer characters on a show, Alexis, over Keith at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I even thought this conversation between Keith and I wrote Keith and pushover because I didn't know her name for a little while. And she just talks about how she's a pushover. I thought this was one of the most boring conversations of the episode.
It was weird. And Keith, like, the only thing that every time he talks, the only thing that stands out is his Yelp. Like, I can only think, like, that's how I describe him. The guy who has good sex reviews on Yelp. And, like, I know it's a joke, but, like, I keep imagining someone having sex with Keith and then going on Yelp after to write their reviews about it.
So, on this date, I'm dead about the sex Yelp, though. I think that's, talk about a business.
Oh, yeah.
You should just, like, go into that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it'll work out as well for me as it does for Keith.
But I'm looking forward to reading Alexis review Joe also. So they're at this bar in New Orleans. And so one of the reasons I was watching with my friend is he went to Tulane. He's like a huge New Orleans guy. And so he's like, oh, I've been hammered at that bar. Like, you get extorted by the bouncers when you're there. Like, they'll come up to you and say, like, you assaulted a shot girl, or you stole a shot and didn't drink, and we're going to get the police if you don't give us money. And like, couldn't have been a better location or backdrop for Joe turning the tables, Jehovah's Witness person. I don't know what his last name is. Who like, you know, ruins their drinks, ruins their food. Although I've heard from my friend that the food is terrible there anyway. I couldn't believe they were eating there. So maybe that's why. Flips the table to make out with Alexis.
It was so like random that they could have easily walked around the table. Like, it would have taken an extra millisecond. But no, I don't know, was it Joe that threw everything? He was the one who, like, made the move and, like, tossed everything aside?
I thought so. Did I miss that?
No, I don't know. I trust what you're saying. So I thought it was cool because for someone like Joe, who I feel like compared to everyone in the cast, like he doesn't have the muscles that everyone has, or, well, there's also Ethan, so I can't even say that. But I feel like he's not your stereotypical Are You the One cast member. And I like that he's funny and witty and can use that to his advantage. And like, she likes that he just goes at her and doesn't have an issue making fun of her back. I like this duo, and I feel like they're more natural than Alexis and Keith are.
Yeah, so Keith tweeted, what did I say? What's going to happen when I'm not there? Shrug. And she writes, nothing if you didn't go pissing me off like a douche lord. And this is why Keith pisses me off so much. It's like the second coming of Leighton here. Like, he's so self-important, as though, like, he can flirt with Zoe, but Alexis owes him some sort of duty of loyalty.
Yeah, it's so,
and you're
going to
tell her, like, she's a terrible person. Like, you're basically doing a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you're playing it out so she's going to hook up with someone else, and then you're going to be like, oh, that's why I don't want you. Like, you're disgusting. Like, you're not a good woman. And it's like, no, Keith, like, you weren't interested in her, and like, get to step in. I can't stand him.
It was ridiculous. And it was just like, it's an insecure guy who thinks they need to control their girlfriend or whoever it is. And I guess, like, just getting off Are You the One, like, when I think the number one downfall in relationships that I've seen, of course, this isn't like speaking for everyone, is when a guy tries to be too controlling and it's like, oh, I'm nervous. My girlfriend's going to do this. Let your girlfriend do whatever she wants. If you trust her, she's not going to cheat on you. That's it. And if she cheats, you don't want to be with her anyway. Like, I feel like it's so simple, but guys, and of course, like, I'm not trying to stereotype all guys, but the guys that I've seen, not whether it's on the show or in real life, they don't understand this simple concept that, you know, I get relationships are tough, but they don't have to be as difficult as everyone makes them.
Boom. life advice, Adam Mangiovanni at Adam Bongo on Twitter.
Thank you for the shout out. I really appreciate it.
So we come to the end of the episode. They vote in, to no one's surprise, Jaless and Anthony, and we get thrown to a to be continued.
Wow, they have me coming back next week, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a match. I also think that's what makes this drum roll worthwhile.
Yeah,
like if they're not a match at the top of the show, like womp womp. I think they're a match.
Me too. No, I think they're a match. I think it's going to be a fun start to the next episode. Anthony also surprised me because he was taller than I imagined. Like in the truth booth, for some reason, he appeared extremely taller than he does in the house, because I'm sure he's around everyone else. But that was like what stuck out of my mind. I'm like, wow, this guy's kind of tall. That interests me.
That interests you.
It did.
One thing that interests me is we got a tweet from April Shimp, who said, do you think therapy could be incorporated like on Famously Single? Have you ever seen an episode of Famously Single?
No, but now I'm interested that you said there's therapy involved.
Yeah, so basically Famously Single is not a show for the people in the house to date, but a lot of people who come into the house end up dating each other.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, so it's like celebrities come in and like they have group therapy sessions and one-on-one therapy sessions. I do think it would be very interesting. I don't think it's the show, but like they also had that on this other show where like exes came. It was called like Exiled. Mm. If anyone watched The Bachelor, the origin of Waboom was on Exiled.
Really? I didn't know that. I'm not surprised, but he was on that show first.
Yeah, Blake and Waboom were both on
Oh, yeah, because they talk about it. Okay, now that makes sense.
So anyway, like, there are shows that work in sort of this, like, couples therapy. It would be interesting to see, like, you know, to have seen, like, Gio and Kaylin, like, sit down with, like, a professional during the show. But I just think it's different. It's a different show then.
No, yeah, I think that gives them too much guidance for either one. I think I would not be opposed to it at all, but I think that gives them too much guidance when they're just hoping for a train wreck. Because in reality, we discussed this, and I know this has been a long discussed topic. Do the producers want people to find love? Do they want them to win the money, or do they want them to have so much drama and not succeed? And I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't know if we'll ever really know. But I think therapy might lead them in the right direction too soon. And I think that's not what MTV is looking for at this moment.
Right. I think you want them to be in the house and like forget real life and real sanity. And somebody coming in being like, look, like you've only known each other for 4 days. Like, it's okay that you're going to break up is not what we want.
Yeah.
And then our digital frig, what's her title again? I always forget, Megan. I'm so sorry. I remembered yesterday on the challenge. But we have a social media correspondent on the challenge who, Megan Schultz, Megan Elizabeth, who volunteered to also cover Are You the One's tweets for us. So she shot us over a couple, and most of them are Tyler, so you could get like a feel of what he's about. And Jada and Uche were kind of like taking shots at each other. Nerisse, and just to sum up what's been happening on Twitter before getting to the actual tweets, Nerisse and Jada are BFFs, and like Jada's constantly tweeting like, now you see why Nerisse and I are close, like everyone hates us, love it, amazing, whatever, no one likes to be hated. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand that, like bragging about like everyone hates me, like that's awesome. I think that's terrible. Like as I understand, like if you're on Big Brother Survivor and you're making like big moves and the audience gets mad at you, whatever, but I feel like to be in a house with a bunch of other people, like you should want to be liked by your castmates at least. Like, who cares what America thinks? But like, by your castmates, you should want to make some friends.
Yeah, totally agree. And then Uche, like Jada tweeted something like, oh, I'm not classy now. And it's like, nah, not really. But Tyler tweeted, I don't think this is going to work on a podcast, but I see SEA next on deck. We about to party like some pirates. Is that going overboard? JK, I don't want to hear your argument. Okay, I'm done. Are you the one?
That was good. Like, whenever somebody on Are You the One shows creativity, like, I don't care if it's an ounce of creativity, I'm impressed by it. So good for Tyler.
And then Tyler tweeted, I can't tell what's more salty, a mouthful of saltines or Uche watching Jada booty down Clinton.
Booty down. Wow. I'm going to use that term all the time now. Booty down. But I'm not going to use it in the right sense. Like, I'm going to use it for like random things. Like, I got to go to the grocery store and I'm going to booty down. Like, just throw it in there, you know?
dying. And then everyone was just kind of tweeting support for Anthony and Jaleesa. So we shall see that conclusion next week. Until then, we'll be back every Thursday morning. Who knows when this is going to drop, but we're here Thursday morning after the episode. Yeah, I know that makes it difficult to get questions in. Like somebody just wrote on the Facebook thread, like, oh, what are you recording? I haven't watched yet. So we're going for timeliness over questions, but we will expand the format of when we'll take questions. So tweet us, send us an email. I don't know, like smoke signal. We'll try to take it if you have it before Thursday mornings.
Yeah.
If not, hopefully you'll just enjoy that this is prompt. So until next week, you can follow Adam at Adam Bongo. You can follow me at Lash Tweets. You could leave us some love on robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes in the iTunes store. That will help us out greatly. Don't be confused. It's also for the challenge. But let us know you're watching Are You the One Too? Anything else, Adam, before we just...
No.
Wrap up.
Yeah, no, that was good. I'm proud of podcast number two, and I look forward to podcast number three.
All right, and with that, we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.